going on, everybody? Happy Tuesday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FNCN, presented by Game Plus Network. Chris Meany here with you. Hopefully you're having a fantastic day. A lot to get to here on the show. It is NFL Draft Week. I don't even think we've really mentioned the NFL Draft on yesterday's show. It was a heavy, heavy baseball show from a waiver wire standpoint. Of course, we only had the one game on the ice. We did get the Kevin Hayes shot prop and the Blackhawks win, but we did not get anything from Tyler Johnson. I even tweeted that out last night. Plus money for an assist, plus money for a point, plus money for a goal. Nada. Didn't get anything. So we're hoping to bounce back in terms of some props and some NHL picks. There are 13 games on the ice tonight. 13 games. One yesterday, 13 today. NHL schedule makers, what is going on? It is the last Tuesday of the NHL regular season before the playoffs happen. So Dangle Betselli is live over at FTN YouTube page. Eric Young and I rolled through all 13 games. We had a couple people hanging out that are in some fantasy hockey playoff finals that had a few questions. So we tried to address, you know, how to attack the rest of the week. Massive day today, light night tomorrow in the NHL. Semi-massive on Thursday and then huge on Friday. I think every team basically playing on Friday. That's when the regular season in the NHL was supposed to end, on the Friday. But there's a makeup game on the Sunday. Seattle and Winnipeg, both of those teams not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to be playing playoff hockey. The Kraken have a chance to win the lottery. Mr. Shane Wright from the Kingston Frontenacs. The Fronts are in the playoffs, and they're rolling, and Shane Wright's been really good. So Kraken's in play to get Shane Wright. The Canadiens and that team they call the Arizona Coyotes also in play to get Mr. Shane Wright. So I get some NHL props and some picks a little bit later on in the show, but this will be some heavy football here on Mean Streets. But if you are looking for some larger plays, of course, we have the FTN betting package over at ftnbets.com. You can use the promo code Meany, save yourself a little bit of cash. You have all the picks from everybody across all the sports over at FTN, MLB. Marshall's up over 100 units in the NBA. We're flirting with the century mark in the NHL. We'll be with you giving Stanley Cup picks. Until that Stanley Cup is raised, we'll be giving picks, of course. And we do have Griffin Swanson, who's one of the newest members of the NHL family, and he is off to a hot start in the FTN betting tracker as well. A lot to get to. There's a lot on my mind here today on this Tuesday. I do appreciate you guys hanging out. I see you guys that are live in the FTN network YouTube page as well. We'll address a couple things in a few moments. So if you are looking for just larger NHL picture, I will have some picks and some props on this show, but Dangle Betselli is live. It's free to listen to on iTunes, Spotify, wherever it is that you listen to your favorite podcast, here on our FTN YouTube page, and look for it over at ftnbets.com. Three games in the NBA as well. Some enticing games. You guys know that I'm on the Pelicans. Now the series has shifted to Phoenix. I think, you know, a big loss from Booker. We'll address that game in a little bit. Last night, the Mavs rolled over the Jazz, which we did have on the show. Luka, we did have as well for threes, and he was an absolute baller last night. It wasn't all good in terms of the betting landscape here on Mean Street, so we do hope to bounce back, but we were on the Celtics as well. We didn't have the sweep. I don't think anybody really had the sweep, but we are huge Celtics fans here on this show. Of course, you got to remember Frank Brank came in here during the NBA trade deadline, and we talked about the Celtics winning the championship at 40-1. It's only one series, but everybody was really hot on the Nets, especially Vegas, giving them really short odds to win the NBA championship, and they're bouncing four games. They don't even get a W. Sorry, Stefano, who's in the house and has given his favorite pick. And speaking of favorite picks, since it's draft week here in the NFL, at FTN, a couple things to plug. We'll plug something else that I'm really excited for in the next break. I forgot to say off the top, Josh Larkey is in the house today, and I'm really, really looking forward to chatting to Josh Larkey, one of the newest members over at FTN, a super, super sharp mind. I know he's been diving into a lot of the NFL prospects, rookie drafts only, an FTN rookie draft only that I saw he took part in. Also, some best ball stuff where he's drafting all kinds of rookies left, right, and center. We are going to break down Jeff Ratcliffe's latest mock draft, which is live over at ftnfantasy.com. And he rolled through the entire first round. So we're going to talk with Josh about Jeff's mock draft. Some things that, you know, just ideal landing spots. Of course, we're just speculating here, but ideal landing spots for some of these prospects. Who Josh likes. Maybe we'll get him to rank some of his favorite prospects. It'll be mostly rookies and wide receivers that we talk about. Of course, a few quarterbacks as well. I think we'll see three get drafted in the first round. I definitely think we'll see two. we won't really address the tight end position, but spoiler alert, we will be talking a lot here at FTN about the draft. But for Larky, he is in here next. He's hanging by, so stay tuned for Josh. And one thing we wanted to do, one thing certainly I wanted to do, we addressed it a little bit yesterday, going to continue this here today. It's giveaway season. I want you guys to see exactly what we have to offer over at FTNFantasy.com. So we are giving away the Fantasy Football Platinum Package. And what is included here in the Fantasy Football Platinum Package? You're going to get seasonal weekly rankings projections from Jeff Ratcliffe, the number one ranker in the game. Number one last year. You're going to get premium stats, Fantasy HQ, which is powered by FTN data. So a lot of cool data tools, ADOT, air yards, a lot of cool things there. I mentioned the weekly rankings from Jeff, myself as well, Josh Larky. Of course, we're a few months away from the season starting, but you know, you're going to get all the off-season prep as well. You're going to get the bust, the sleepers. You're going to get preseason rankings. You got the rookie guide, the draft guide, which is over 300 player profiles. The draft day sheets from courtesy of Jeff Ratcliffe. Start and sit tools, wide receiver cornerback matchup tools, which will be super key throughout the season. Help you make some of those start and sit decisions a little bit easier for you. Articles, podcasts, videos, you name it. High stakes content as well for those who want to get involved in, you know, some high stakes fantasy football this year. And then you saw the rookie scouting guide as well, which is included over 150 player profiles, little tidbits, and Jeff will update that and we will give you the updated version when the draft is finished this weekend, because of course some of these players, you know, the landing spot is absolutely key for some of these guys, right? You know, who's going to go to Atlanta? Who's going to go to Green Bay and play with Aaron Rodgers, who potentially could be the number one wide receiver with the Packers? So all we're asking from you today is just to give your favorite bet. If you're watching on Game Plus Network, always a great lineup over there. We appreciate you so much for watching Mean Streets over there. But hop on over to our FTN YouTube page. Look for this video. I have tweeted it out. And just leave your favorite bet of the day. It doesn't matter the odds. I'm seeing Heat -6. I see Sens, Pels over 215. It doesn't matter the bet. I saw a bet in there yesterday from our guy Gildan just on Merrill Kelly not to have a W. And he didn't get a W. He was -440 or 450 or something silly like that not to win against the Dodgers. The Dodgers rolled. Boom, Gildan, you're in the draw to win a package. I'm going to give away two packages too. So two packages and two scouting guides. Just leave the bet, your favorite bet of the day, in the YouTube section. If you're following along live in our show here, I see Stuart Wright, Edmonton Moneyline. We'll include that. But I would love to see it in the comment section. And again, you're watching here live. You see it. You're watching on Game Plus. Head on over. Leave the best bet. And tomorrow, we're not on Game Plus, but we will have a show, a Mean Street show. It'll be a little quicker version. And we'll give away the packages on tomorrow's show. So you got all day to get your favorite bet in there. I think I've rambled enough off the top. Let's bring in Mr. Josh Larky. He is hanging by. We are going to talk about Jeff Ratcliffe's first round mock draft. He's got a handful of wide receivers. Some spots I like, some spots I don't like. It's not on Jeff, but you know, I'm not going to lie. There's some spots I just don't want to see. I just want to see those things happen. Josh is in here next. We'll take a quick break. Mean Streets continues here on Game Plus Network. Welcome in, Mean Streets Live on Game Plus Network. Thanks as always for taking the time to hang out here. There he is, the GOAT himself, Josh Larky, J Larky Tweets on the Twitter machine. He is the Chief Analytics Officer over at FTN, and we've had some conversations back and forth, but actually really thrilled to finally get the opportunity, dude, to talk some football with you, kind of meet face-to-face here, and really kind of walk through some NFL prospects and some early thoughts on the NFL draft. Thanks for taking the time, dude. How are you?
I'm doing well, Chris. Thanks for having me on. And according to the producers in our ear, in order to gear up for the multiple hours of streaming we're going to do together on Thursday and Friday for the draft, they actually said if this doesn't work out these next 10 minutes, they're actually axing it completely. So there's a lot at stake right now.
Dude, I'm a fan of you already. Yeah, I love that. You just dropped the bomb right there. I was kind of teasing a little bit, but it was tweeted. It was tweeted earlier, but those watching here, Game Plus Network now officially, they see it. And George has done some fantastic work for us over the past 4 or 5 days. As you see there, the 2022 NFL Draft Show live during rounds one and round two. Josh Larkey and myself will be with you through the entire time. Now, the draft on Friday gets underway at 8 Eastern. We're going to start roughly 7 Eastern. We're going to have our guy Gilles Gallant come in with some NFL draft props. We're going to have Jeff Ratcliffe and Jake Seeley on the first day jump in. Of course, Jeff, number one ranker in the game. Jake, number two ranker in the game. I mean, these guys are going to come in and give us some hot takes, of course, but, you know, just some great analysis on the landing spot of some of these skilled players. We're going to have Adam Pfeiffer, Benny Ricciardi, Eric Young, and a whole lot more of our FTN team jump in through us. I mean, George has really done some fantastic work. You are going to be live tweeting some projections, which we'll share on the show as well. And we want you guys to be part of the show. So hang out with us. You have any questions throughout the show, you can leave them. Have a couple cold ones with us, and we will watch the first round of the NFL draft and then rounds two and three on Friday. So we'll be with you on Friday as well. Dude, I'm stoked. It should be pretty good.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. And I think what's exciting is that, I mean, last year was very exciting, but we also kind of knew how a lot of the picks were going to go. And I think this is kind of the first year I can remember where there's not really a single consensus pick where it's, this guy is obviously going to this team at this spot. I think that makes it really exciting because last year we had Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, you kind of knew that the table was being set. The quarterback run was starting. This draft, it's all over the place. I think we could see anywhere from what, like 5 to 8 receivers in the first round, anywhere from maybe 3 up to potentially 4 or 5 quarterbacks. Yeah. Very exciting for fantasy, just with kind of the volatile nature of depending on how those first 5 to 10 picks go. It could really, really shape the first round and kind of alter when those fantasy relevant position runs happen.
Yeah, and we'll get into Jeff Ratcliffe's mock draft in just a second, but there are a couple teams, right? Like what is Carolina going to do? Are they going to get a quarterback? What are the Falcons going to do? Do they want to get a quarterback? Clearly, they need a lot of pieces, but a wide receiver as well. You know, what's going to happen there? Of course, no Calvin Ridley next season. So there's a lot of those teams, I think, where dominoes could start to fall. Teams could maybe potentially trade up. You know, if neither of those teams take a quarterback, you could see some other quarterback needy teams all of a sudden, okay, all right, maybe I'll move up here and get a guy. Before we do that, I mentioned off the top of this show, we are giving away a Fantasy Football Platinum Package, which you'll have your fingerprints all over with some rankings, some preseason stuff. And also throughout the year, you and I will have some rankings. I know you've done some best ball drafts over at Underdog as well. And then on the right there, the rookie scouting guide. So we're just asking people to leave their favorite bet of the day for a chance to win two packages that we'll give out tomorrow on the show. But also, I noticed on your Twitter handle, Jay Larkey Tweets, you are also giving away some stuff. So it really is giveaway season at FTN. And what you are asking people to do is just retweet one of your latest tweets and follow FTN Fantasy, which, ton of content, of course, already up on the site throughout the draft, and of course all through the season. I want to talk a little bit about that. You're giving away some swag. What do I see there? Some tees, some hats, some pens.
Yeah, I see the main events here. The main events are the two t-shirts and the hat. And the past month since I joined FTN, I'm wearing the shirt probably twice a week. I'm wearing the hat on my daily dog walks. They're really comfortable. They look good. I've had a few people come up and say, like, oh, what is FTN? It sparks a fun conversation. So yes, if you just want to look like one of the more knowledgeable fantasy sports, gambling, betting people on your neighborhood block, be like me, walk the dog, wear the shirt, wear the hat. It's really comfortable. You got the coasters, the golf ball. There's a lot of really good stuff in that pack.
There really is. There's a lot of good stuff in your TikTok game as well. Have you done any TikTok videos with the hat, rocking the hat yet, and with the dog? I think you need to.
I've done a couple dog appearances. I've done some with the shirt. The hat hasn't quite happened yet. I'm actually setting up a more advanced lighting setup because it's time to take the TikTok game from seasoned amateur to seasoned professional. And as I'm setting up the lighting, I don't quite have it ready yet where if I'm wearing a hat in my TikToks, the eyes get a little dim. And we're not at that level yet. So you know what?
No.
Within the next month or so, the hat will be making far more appearances where the shadows, the lighting, just stay tuned, everyone. TikTok, we're all early in the TikTok game and it's only up from here.
Yeah, you've made me want to get it because, you know, they've been insightful, funny as well, informative, no doubt. And I've been behind the game in the TikTok game. So I'm just learning, dude, and learning from you. Okay, enough about all of that. Let's get into Jeff Ratcliffe's latest mock draft. This is 2.0. I don't think Jeff will come up with a third version with the draft just a couple days away. So I'm highlighting a couple of the skill players. Of course, Walker up at the top, Jacksonville. And then we get into the first wide receiver that Jeff has off the board, Drake London, to Atlanta. So mention the Falcons at 8. A lot of holes in this team, of course. Larkey, they could go quarterback, even though they did bring in Marcus Mariota. He's clearly not the quarterback of the future there. Matt Ryan, no longer a member of the Atlanta Falcons. Just the run here with wide receivers to the Jets, Garrett Wilson, Jameson Williams, who I don't think we'll see this year, but you know, fantastic year before the injury last year, to Washington. Clearly, they need some help offensively. You got Treylon Burks there to Philadelphia. The first quarterback off the board, Jeff has Kenny Pickett going to the Saints. Of course, the Saints acquired one of the Eagles' first-round picks, so they have two picks, and Olave in there as their second. Malik Willis has been just kind of linked to Pittsburgh, I feel like, for a long time, dude. We can have a quarterback conversation a little bit here. Breece Hall, the only running back that Jeff has in the first round to the Buffalo Bills. You got Dotson in there to the Packers, who I've seen linked. I believe we talked about it last week on the show. Peter Schrager had one of his latest mocks. He did have Dotson going to Green Bay as well. No Davante Adams. I think this may be the year they finally draft a wide receiver in the first round. Who knows? Maybe they'll troll us again. Watson to KC, two picks near the end of the first round, trading Tyreek Hill to Miami. And then Desmond Ridder in there. Of course, the first round pick from the Rams last year. Detroit has it in the Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford trade. We're going to talk a lot about different things, but what jumps out at you? I know you and I were chatting before last night about things you like and you dislike things. Give me something that you like from that mock draft that Jeff came up with.
So one thing I like for fantasy, obviously, it's got to be that Breece Hall to Buffalo pick. This is an explosive offense. It's well run. Anytime you have a quarterback like Josh Allen under center where he's locked up long-term, you know that whatever running back ends up in that spot for all four, or with Breece Hall, even potentially that fifth-year option, every year he's tied to an elite offense. And I think that's what you want to see from your fantasy running backs. You want to see them go to a place where year after year, you know that this offense is going to be watchable. The running back will have opportunities on the field at goal line. So I think that's the thing I like the most just right away. Is as a fantasy player, I mean, God, I love my young running backs, and I want them in these really fun, innovative offenses. But I think The big trend that I see is there's actually three teams that feel like they're setting themselves up for their 2023 quarterback. And looking right now, it would be the Falcons with Drake London, where they set up whoever their quarterback of the future is. Hey, you're coming into this organization, and on day one, you're going to have two absolutely massive targets in Kyle Pitts and Drake London. Have some fun. And then when we look down, we see Washington at 11 with Jameson Williams. Carson Wentz, yes, they traded far too many picks to get the expensive and the erratic and apparently the bad leader, Carson Wentz. However, for the next year, you're going to be working with potentially Terry McLaurin. We'll see what happens there with him potentially wanting out, but maybe he's there, maybe he's not. You get Jameson Williams. They'll still have, I assume, Curtis Samuel makes the bounce back. They've got Logan Thomas recently extended in that. Next, there's Antonio Gibson still there. And you have pieces where whoever their quarterback of the future is, it becomes somewhat of a desirable landing spot for them. And then the third one is the Eagles, where they did the trade with the Saints. The Eagles went from 3 first-round picks this year to 2 this year and 2 next year, basically saying to Jalen Hurts, hey, we're going to get you some talent. We're going to bring in Treylon Burks. And if you can't take that large leap forward, fine, we'll bring in somebody else, and they're going to be absolutely thrilled to throw to Treylon Burks, Devonta Smith, Dallas Goedert. And next thing you know, this is an incredibly desirable landing spot to just drop a quarterback into that system. So that was one of the biggest trends I saw, is that there's a lot of teams, because it is a weaker quarterback class, where they're going, oh, there's some really good skill players here. We're going to make this the most attractive landing spot to just drag and drop a quarterback next season.
I agree with a lot of what you said, especially from the Atlanta Washington side of things. Even with Philadelphia, with next year's quarterback class being pretty pretty strong, right? To get involved, right? I mean, those teams, especially Atlanta, have so many holes and so many pieces. If they can just get themselves a nice wide receiver, right, to kind of replace Calvin Ridley and then attack the quarterback position next year. I love the trade from the Eagles standpoint. Ultimately, they got a boatload of picks from Carson Wentz, right? Moving him last year and getting the first from the Colts and then taking, you know, a couple picks this year and basically swapping ones by getting involved in next year and getting a second as well. So I think clearly they're going to let Jalen Hurts go and see what he has again in what would be his second full season in the NFL as a starter, and last year being the first full one. I'm seeing him working out with Tom Brady and hanging out with Brady, and it's like, oh, baby, like this guy clearly does seem to have a chip on his shoulder, and he wants to prove a lot of people wrong. And I thought he did some good things last year with limited weapons in the passing game. You mentioned Goddard's great, but he missed a little bit of time, and Zach Ertz was there to start the season. Smith was just a rookie, got nothing at all. A lot of their wide receivers that they've drafted over the past couple of years, but Jalen Reagor in particular. So a third straight season, I think, for a wide receiver, they're kind of set on the offensive line. So I think, you know, with one of those two picks, maybe a defensive player, I think McDuffie would be okay as a corner, but they'd still have an opportunity to draft a wide receiver if they wanted to. Breece Hall, or where would you rank him from a redraft standpoint? If he was a member of the Buffalo Bills, and you know what people are going to say to you, Larky, is that the running back is Josh Allen. But if you listen to the Bills talk over the past couple of years, they don't want Josh Allen running around all the time. They don't want to just have, yeah, they get it. He can hand it off to the five or the two and he can run it in better than a running back. I mean, he's capable. We've seen that multiple times. He's led this team in rushing touchdowns multiple times, but I don't think they want him running around. They haven't had a true bell cow back. That's the only thing that this offense is missing. I love the landing spot. I love your analysis, but let's try to think forward. If he was a member of the Buffalo Bills, is he a low-end RB1? Is he a top five running back linked to most likely a top five offense? Would you lower the projections for Josh Allen a little bit? Maybe a tick down in terms of rushing touchdowns? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, so I think in terms of the guy that I immediately compared him to is, I think wherever Breece Hall goes, especially if he does end up going in round one, this is the bell cow. He's been an absolute monster in college, total workhorse, even behind some weak offensive lines. He's an adequate pass catcher. And I think another guy that you look at as a young running back who handled a full workload last year is Najee Harris. And I think that there's suddenly a conversation in redraft where Najee Harris is kind of a top four to top six running back, according to pretty much everyone for redraft. And I think right there, well, I don't know. If we compare them one-to-one, Breece Hall, better athlete. Breece Hall, better offense. Maybe Najee Harris, a little better pass catcher, going to get a little more work there. But I think that's kind of a good conversation piece is those two, where some of the older running backs like Dalvin Cook. I mean, if Breece Hall goes to the Bills, I want Breece Hall over Dalvin Cook in redraft. I have much more confidence in the Buffalo offense. Dalvin Cook has really struggled to stay healthy year after year. Alexander Mattison's been great whenever he fills in. And I mean, they could draft another running back to mix in there as well if they want. I don't really think that the age 27, age 28 running back is necessarily the best round one target at this point, where we just have seen these running backs breaking down year after year. And hey, I'm an ageist. I just want them to be as young as possible. And if you're giving me 21-year-old Breece Hall, I mean,
yeah.
Like Jonathan Taylor, you could even argue like Christian McCaffrey. I don't know. That's suddenly a conversation where Christian McCaffrey's getting up there in age. He's had the injury history. And that really, I think Jonathan Taylor is kind of the only guy that I think would be the most obvious. You can't draft Breece Hall over him. So I think that's why he goes to the Bills. And next, you know, he is in that top five redraft conversation.
Yeah, I was going to say top five. It does sound like you're into top five, and it's hard to argue that. I don't think I would roll the dice on CMC and Cook. I understand the upside, but you're right. A couple of years now with the injuries, so there's certainly a lot of risk. From a rookie only, if you had – and I know it's tough to do this now without landing spots, and we'll do this throughout the draft show, of course. We'll be able to really hammer that home. But if you had number one pick – in a rookie-only draft, you're in year whatever of your dynasty league, and Hall is a member of the Buffalo Bills, would you take the running back at one, or would you take a wide receiver? We're talking single quarterback, maybe, too.
Single quarterback dynasty?
Yeah.
I think I would still lean with Chase and Jefferson.
No, just say rookie only. Only
rookie only for
say
oh,
you're
yes.
in year four, you're just drafting rookies. Is Hall
oh,
like
yes.
could you make a case for him to be the first rookie only? Like a rookie only for the first one taken off the board, or would you rather a young buck, like a nice young wide receiver?
Oh yeah, I actually think even in Superflex, I'm still leaning Breece Hall at this point. Just because I think he's the player that we have the fewest questions with. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that Breece Hall is going to be giving you 15 to 20 fantasy points a game the next three seasons, four seasons, five seasons, whenever he's healthy. Whereas with the quarterbacks, even if you're in even Superflex, there's tremendous questions around, is Malik Willis an NFL quarterback? I don't know. He didn't look very good at Liberty. He's got pretty incredible tools, and I feel like we've seen that play out really, really well and really, really poorly at the NFL level. With the receivers, I don't think there's no Jamar Chase in this class. I think if Jamar Chase was in this class, I would say, hey, coin flip. Do you want want running back? You want receiver? But I think that there are red flags with each of the receivers. So if I'm just going top down in Jeff's mock draft, like Drake London, questions about the long speed. He's probably a 4.6 guy. Garrett Wilson, the size. He's only around 180. Jameson Williams, the ACL tear and the size. He's also around 180. Treylon Burks. Is he just slightly better LaVisca Chenault? I think that could be the worry, is that this guy had very unorthodox usage in college. Chris Olave, four-year player. He's also undersized. Is there a capped ceiling there? And next thing you know, you go down and you're like, oh, Breece Hall. I have absolutely no questions. He proved it 3 years in college that he is the guy. And I know there's a lot of people out there that freak out about the touches and they go, oh, this guy was pounded into the ground in college. And it's like, well, if you actually look at the data, what you really don't want is the lightly used college running back, because it probably means that if he wasn't good enough to carry the full load in college, he's probably not going to be good enough to carry the full load in the NFL. Or if they try and give him that full load in the NFL, it's going to be really tough for his body to hold up because he's never done it before. That's why Jonathan Taylor was such a smash pick, is it's like, oh, year after year after year in college, the guy is handling a heavy workload and he's explosive and he can catch passes. Breece Hall, the exact same way. I just don't have any questions about him. And at the 101, Superflex, 1 QB, PPR, half PPR, I'm going Breece Hall right now.
Yeah, he's true bell cow, all written all over him. You're right, he may not catch as many balls, and I don't expect him to as Najee Harris, but it's a better offense. They're not going to be playing from behind too much. He's going to handle a lot of the workload. He's going to catch a bunch of balls, and you know he could get double-digit touchdowns in that offense. You mentioned KC. We'll break because you mentioned Jonathan Taylor, and I thought about KC, and I thought about the year that, I mean, everyone just went nuts over Clyde Edwards-Helaire because he was linked to KC, and I think that's going to be another thing people will just go over the top with whatever wide receiver the Packers draft potentially, and if KC does draft a wide receiver as well. So I want to get your thoughts on what you think those two teams will do, and maybe a player that you think would just be best suited in that offense. So more NFL mock draft talk here on Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. One quick break. Chris Meany and Josh Larkey here with you as we continue the NFL mock draft talk. Just taking a look at some of the prospects. A friendly reminder that Josh and I will be with you live during the NFL draft, round one on Thursday and round two and three on Friday. We'll have guest spots from Jake Seeley, which you can catch his show All in Football on Game Plus Network. Jeff Ratcliffe, the number one ranker in the game. Benny Ricciardi is going to stop by. Joe Gallant, Adam Pfeiffer. We're going to have a whole lot of the FTN crew with us. And Josh and I will be with you through the entire time. And I know Josh will be giving you some live projections, which you can catch on our website, ftnfantasy.com, on the Twitter machine, Jay Larkey Tweets, and of course, right here on our FTN Network YouTube page. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on what you think maybe I wanted to have maybe a more of a general wide receiver conversation. Just have a couple minutes here. You know, you mentioned Taylor, and I just thought about Taylor, and he was a smash pick. But in rookie drafts and season long, everyone was just, oh, I want the back linked to KC and that offense and Andy Reid. And, you know, it's kind of been disappointing, I think, especially if you draft a CEH in a dynasty league a couple years ago. Taylor was clearly the guy to take. But I think we can both say with confidence, dude, no matter who goes to Kansas City or who goes to Green Bay, people are going to be gushing over those landing spots linked to Patrick Mahomes long term, linked to Rodgers for maybe just a year or two, but no Devontae Adams and the lack of options that Rodgers has. I guess I just want to ask you, what do you think the best landing spot for a wide receiver to Green Bay? Like, who would you like to see as a member of the Packers? What wide receiver really checks a lot of boxes for you?
So looking at this mock draft, we've got Jahan Dotson to Green Bay. We've got Watson to Kansas City. And I think that if you flipped them, I'd really hate it. And I'll kind of explain why I think this is the better way to do it. And kind of what I think Green Bay, why that one's a lot more dependent on the receiver. Whereas I think with the Chiefs, I think it's a lot more plug and play. We've seen Andy Reid be really creative with the offense. We know what Patrick Mahomes can do. However, what do we know about Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers, he's very picky. He has very high standards. I feel like he and Tom Brady are kind of the two quarterbacks where you sort of know that if you're on their bad side, if you're not actually doing all the little things right, it's going to go south really quickly. And I think that what you need is someone that can come in on day one and win as a receiver and be really reliable. I think like the best fit, he won't be there most likely when the Packers are picking, but like a Chris Olave, where someone that there's a slight chance he falls to that spot. And he's an incredibly pro-ready four-year player in college. I think Jahan Dotson, not necessarily quite as pro-ready. It's also kind of why he's probably going to be there when the Packers pick, but he was a four-year player. He was incredibly productive almost from the get-go in college, fairly polished route runner. However, a Christian Watson, who I know some people are like, oh, Christian Watson. For those who don't know, he's 6'4". He's nearly 210. He runs a 4.3. The guy is just a freak athletically. Basically, just think about maybe a slightly leaner DK Metcalf. That's essentially what Christian Watson is. However, while the Packers historically, yes, they favored the big body receivers, Christian Watson went to a small school. I think it was like North Dakota State.
Yeah.
He wasn't even that crazily dominant at this small program. He has one of the highest drop rates that I've ever seen. It was like 1 in 8 passes that went to him, or 1 in 9 passes was dropped. There were a lot of terrifying numbers, and all the scouts, I'm not a film grinder, but all the scouts that I've heard from on podcasts, all they say is Christian Watson, this is a project. And that's just not the type of receiver I want to see in Green Bay. I think with Green Bay, they really need someone who can come in and contribute on day one. And I think that's why, like, some people that have said, oh, Treylon Burks, Christian Watson, get a big body in there. They like big receivers. They don't need a project. I don't think they want a project. Aaron Rodgers definitely doesn't. So I think that's the landing spot to watch in terms of it's going to be, I think there's a little bit more risk reward there, as opposed to, I think whoever the Chiefs take, I think can be productive in that offense. And I'm just not that high on Christian Watson. I just don't love the guys that weren't incredibly productive in college at receiver. I feel like with running backs, I'm like, oh yeah, just give me the athletic guy that got some touches. With receiver, the athleticism doesn't matter as much. We just haven't seen that play out at the NFL level. Allen Robinson, Devontae Adams, Cooper Kupp. These are not freak athletes running the 4.3s in low 4.4s. Keenan Allen ran a mid 4.7. It's just that crazy speed is just not that important. For every DK Metcalf, you're going to get a lot of these Miles Boykin types where it's like, oh, this guy was huge and athletic and he's out of the league in 3 years. So I think with the Chiefs, I think Watson kind of fits what they want to do. And I think it would be kind of an interesting offense where they go from, oh, this is all tiny speed guys, Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman too. This is all big speed guys. And it'd be kind of fun to have Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who's 6'4", 210 and runs in the 4.3s. Christian Watson, 6'4", 210, runs in the 4.3s. I think that could be a pretty fun and very unique offense where someone like Patrick Mahomes and plays schemed up by Andy Reid would be uniquely qualified to make those pieces work. Whereas in Green Bay, it's not as creative of an offense, and Aaron Rodgers has almost impossible standards at times. And it's why I thought the Devontae Adams trade was kind of crazy when it happened. So I was like, wow, he finally found the guy that he wanted to throw to, and now he's out. So I think someone like Dotson, much better than if we were to flip those two and have Watson going to Green Bay.
Yeah, it's funny with the Rodgers. I was shocked to hear that he knew that Adams is just going to be traded, right? And that he decided to kind of re-up there knowing that he was going to lose his boy and the lack of weapons that they've gotten for him. I mean, he's only thrown a touchdown to one first rounder in his NFL career, Mercedes Lewis, right? As tight end. Like, they've given him no weapons. You do agree though, right? We're short on time. We're looking at about a minute. You do agree. They're going to take a wide receiver in the first round, right?
I think they have
to. It's hard
to
trust this team.
I don't quite understand how Rodgers re-signs knowing they're losing Devontae Adams and then also knowing that Alan Lazard, Sammy Watkins is his receiving core. I don't think there's much of a chance. They already saw the Jordan Love fiasco and the aftermath of that. And I think at this point, they just need to make him happy. It's just like the Clyde Edwards-Alaire pick. Like, was that kind of a reach? Was he the best running back in that class? Absolutely not. But no. It's Patrick Mahomes. You have to get the guy who he wants. You have to keep him happy. And I think the Packers are going to keep Rodgers happy. He gets his first round wide receiver finally.
Dude, speed is a little overrated, right? You mentioned guys that are in the league for a couple of years. Darius Hayward-Bagg comes to mind, right? I mean, he was super fast. See you later. I know DK didn't check out well in, you know, his, you know, agility cones or whatever it was. And a lot of teams passed on him, and it was absolute steal for the Seahawks. I mean, the Eagles with Rager and Hightower and Quez Watkins just looking for speed, 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 missing on a guy like Justin Jefferson. We were really spoiled over the last 2 years with Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. I don't see a wide receiver in this draft. We'll get you out of here on this. Who is your favorite wide receiver? Not sports related, but I love Josh's vibe. Keep rocking. We love that. We love that. We see a lot of Larky here on our FTN Network YouTube page in you know, weeks and months and throughout the football season. We'll get you out of here on this, though. Who's your favorite wide receiver? You got one? Do you have one that stands out, or is it like a couple in one tier for you?
So I don't have right now. I'm kind of waiting for landing spots. I think that there's kind of a clear top four where, depending on landing spot, I think any of Drake London, Garrett Wilson, Jameson Williams, and Treylon Burks can potentially flip-flop within there, but I really like Garrett Wilson. I'm not a big film guy. I watched him a little bit. He's incredibly fast out of breaks. He can take one to the house on any play, and he just feels kind of like what this new school small wide receiver, kind of what they look like, sort of like the Jaylen Waddle, where the guy's really fast. He can cut on a dime, and he's going to get open on every single play. And I think that's just a really fun type of receiver to watch on Sundays, to root for, and to draft in fantasy. So right now, pre-draft, I have Garrett Wilson number one.
Very complete player, I think maybe the most, with no shots fired at any of the other guys. Josh, appreciate you, dude. Thanks for taking the time. Again, check us out Thursday and Friday. We'll be with you throughout the entire NFL draft. Check out a lot of Josh's work on the Twitter machine, Jay Larkey Tweets, and also over at FTNFantasy.com. We'll say goodbye to Josh now. Thanks again, dude. And thank we got some us. NHL picks here on Mean Streets. Keep her locked. Welcome back into Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network. Man, I'm a big fan of Larky too. I like him. He's entertaining. He's very intelligent. I like the vibe. I'm glad you guys enjoyed him as well. Really looking forward to chopping it up with him on Thursday and Friday throughout the entire NFL draft. So make sure that you are subscribed to our FTN YouTube page and you're ready to rock there. We'd have 13 games on the ice. 13 games. You know how difficult it was for me to come up with my four favorite shot props with 13 games in the NHL? I could sit here and give you 25 to 30. I may have issues. So these are my first four that I do. Like, Thomas Chabot is back in the lineup here for the Senators. He played 20 minutes in his first game when he returned to the lineup against the Canadiens over the weekend. He only had two shots on goal, but he did have six attempts. For a defenseman, six attempts, it's significant. And honestly, Chabot, before he suffered the injury, and it was a hand injury, he's leading the league in ice time per game. He was playing nearly half. I mean, I'm more exaggerating a little bit. I think he was hovering around 26-minute mark overall for Mr. Thomas Chabot. So second game back in the lineup. It's not like it was a knee injury or an ankle injury. I do expect him to get some, you know, significant ice time, maybe a little bit of a bump. Yeah, 26-16 is what he was averaging. I thought so. That's significant. He's had a pretty good season too, 34 points in 56 games. But dating back pre-injury, he's cleared 2.5 shots in 12 of his last 15 games. So he's somebody that we were going to quite a bit on this show. The ice time was there, like we said, and that's significant, playing in the power play. You know what? And in a pretty good spot tonight, too, against the New Jersey Devils, who are just, you know, they're missing some key forwards. They just don't have it defensively. So I like Chabot inside the same game. I do like Josh Norris, but you're going to get a better price here with Thomas Chabot. How about this game here between the Stars and the Golden Knights? There's a lot that I like from it. We'll talk about the winner in the next segment here. But Josh Robertson at home is where he's been very, very dominant so far this season. He's cleared in 8 straight games. In a couple of those games, he had 7 shots. In another game, he had 5. So Robertson is probably my favorite play from this game. I do also like Tyler Seguin in that game. scheme, who was cleared in six of his past eight games. And then sticking inside the same contest, there's a couple Vegas Golden Knight players that check some boxes for me as well. Shea Theodore is another defenseman. I didn't think I'd come with two defensemen here, but another guy locking a lot of ice time. He's cleared in four straight games and five of his past six. He had six shots in the last game. This is must-win territory for Vegas. I could see him getting double-shifted. I could see him flirting with 25 minutes tonight. He's going to play in a lot of situations, some power play stuff and some penalty kill stuff for Shea Theodore. And he's been driving offense, you know, from the back end as the Golden Knights really need a W tonight or they're officially done from the Stanley Cup playoffs contention in there. And then Ricard Raquel is another one. Shea Theodore is plus money, but Raquel is plus money. We've been trying to give you a plus money bonus play. So Ricard Raquel for the Pittsburgh Penguins, I like the addition on the top line. He's been moved up playing with Sidney Crosby and playing with Jake Guentzel. I think Crosby is certainly in play. This should be a high firepower and offensive game between the Oilers and the Penguins. I think we could see a lot of offense. Ricard Raquel has cleared in seven of his past eight games. He didn't clear in his last game. That's it. He was right there at two for a while against the Philadelphia Flyers. He didn't get that third shot. So let's not, you know, recency bias clearly is a thing when it comes to shot props. Books adjust when they don't hit on the regular. So we're getting a decent price at plus 115 for Ricard Raquel. There's a whole lot more here that I'll share in the next segment. I'm going to take a look at some sides and some totals. I got a crazy little parlay for you guys and maybe a couple more shot props. Because again, there's 13 games in the NHL. Mean Streets continuing here on Game Plus Network. Welcome back in. As I mentioned, 13 games on the ice in the NHL, so a lot of different ways that you can go here today. This is what I'm thinking from a side standpoint. I want to give a friendly reminder that it's really important, I think, with the last week here, just a couple days left in the NHL season, to keep an eye on certain teams if they're going to rest some players. The Florida Panthers have already won the Atlantic Division, and with a point today, they will win the President's Trophy. I do believe that is something that they want to accomplish. If they get a W tonight in Boston against the Bruins, then maybe they can rest some players, and I'm sure they will in the final game of the season against the Montreal Canadiens. But I do like Florida anytime that we can get these kind of odds here, minus 115 against the Boston Bruins. I do expect to see David Pastrnak, Campus Lindholm back in the lineup for the Bruins, but this is a Panthers team that we have just rode all year long. They're loaded offensively, a little bit better at home, but this is a team that leads the league in NHL, leads the NHL in goals and high danger chances over the last 6 weeks at 5-5. They've been just extremely, extremely dominant. So I'm going to take them anytime with these odds. The Vegas Golden Knights, I guess I'm a sucker for punishment because I'm going right back to this team with their backs against the wall on the road against the Dallas Stars. I do believe they're a better team than Dallas. The Stars are a much better team on home ice, but I just feel like they're a one-line team led by Roope Hintz and Jason Robertson and Joe Pavelski. This is going to be a desperate game for both teams. Highly entertaining hockey game. Vegas blew it in their last game. They're 3 points back of Dallas with three games left. They're going to need to win this game in regulation, and they're also going to need help. They're going to have to win out themselves against Chicago and St. Louis to wrap up the season, and they're going to need help from Dallas, who wraps up against Anaheim and Arizona. So it's a pretty soft schedule. This is it for the Golden Knights today. I think we're going to see a very, very desperate hockey team, and I do believe skill will take over. So minus 105. And then the over there between Edmonton and Pittsburgh, as I mentioned in the last block, I liked Ricard Raquel for shot props. I also like Leon Draisaitl plus money at 3.5. I also like Evander Kane, who's been shooting quite a bit at 2.5. You can put him in some parlays. I think we will see some offense. Evgeny Malkin is back in the lineup. Sidney Crosby's shooting the puck. That top line in Pittsburgh looks really well. Malkin gives them another added element, I suppose, on their second line with Brian Rust in there. And then on the other side, the Oilers are clicking offensively. I know they're coming off a loss on the road against the Columbus Blue Jackets, but Evander Kane is playing his best hockey as an Edmonton Oiler. Zach Hyman has been shooting the puck. Leon Draisaitl well over 100 points. Connor McDavid shooting for the Art Ross. So he's in play for 3.5 shots, but I would rank them Ricard Raquel, Leon Draisaitl, Evander Kane, Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby. There's a lot. Like, can we get some same game parlays? We'd be loading some overs when it comes to that hockey, this hockey game. And then you saw the parlay. It's a bit of a chalky one. I said it was wild in the last block, and I think to myself, it's not wild. I'm just taking chalk here. But I do expect the Maple Leafs to roll over Detroit. Auston Matthews, he's on the cover here. He's two goals away from 60. His shot prop is at 4.5. He probably does it. He shoots the puck quite a bit. They're going to be looking for him to get to 60 tonight against Detroit. They played earlier in the year, and I think they put up a 9 spot against the Red Wings. Kings don't have any goaltending here. The Leafs are really not playing for anything. They're locked into the second spot in the Atlantic. It looks like they're going to play the Tampa Bay Lightning, potentially the Boston Bruins. Get Matthews to the 60, get that milestone, maybe sit him out a game or two to wrap up the season because he did miss some time. But he's back in the lineup. He missed a couple games last week. So Austin Matthews is also plus 100 for a 2.9. I think he does get to 60 in there. And then, you know, the Minnesota Wild against Arizona, it's just a complete mismatch. You do have the Wild playing for home ice advantage against the St. Louis Blues. So I do think that they take care of business here. And then Tampa Bay has been rolling. The past couple games have been really good for them. The smackdown against the Toronto Maple Leafs, they beat Florida the other day 8-4. So they played some really good teams that they beat. So you put all three of them in into like a puck line parlay and you get that there at plus 281. One more break and we'll wrap up with some NBA stuff. Three games on the hard court. Going to talk about the Pelicans and the Suns in here next. Keep her locked. Welcome back in one final time. Carvery, I know, ask George. It actually pained me not to have any baseball plays here. It was heavy baseball yesterday and heavy NFL here today and a little bit of NHL. So it's tough to kind of hit up all four. But if you have that FTM betting package, you have all the access to all the picks. And I'll circle back here on this YouTube page and give a couple of my favorite MLB picks for you. But we do appreciate you as well for plugging this contest. We want people to give their best bet of the day in the YouTube section so we can give away some goodness there. And I will share a couple of my favorite bets as well on our YouTube page. So head on over there. Three games in the hard court, on the hard court here today. We have a bunch of teams squeaking sneakers. I think, you know, for Miami, they get it done here today. They take care of business at home and bounce the Hawks. I also like Memphis as well. Six, a couple chalky plays here, but I do like the Pelicans. I'm on the Pelicans, guys, in the tracker. I have them to win the series. I have them in the series spread for this to at least go six games here. And I like the Pelicans to at least cover. I don't know if they win here on the road, but I'm definitely getting behind the 6.5, and I do like the over 215 in there. CJ McCollum is my guy here today. 2.5 threes at minus 130 is something that I like, and I know in the last game, he struggled from beyond the arc, 2-for-9, but in this series, 3-for-8, 6-for-10, 4-for-11, and 2-for-9. He's jacked up a ton of shots from beyond the arc, so I think he's a key factor here. And the DeAndre Ayton, his point prop is at 20, and I think he's going to be a key factor as well for the Suns. Chris Paul didn't shoot the ball all that well. I mean, he hardly jacked up any shots, but for Ayton over his last couple games in this series, 21-10, 28, and 23 in the last game, 14 shots from the field. Obviously not a guy that's going to jack any shots from beyond the arc, but I think we can get to that 20.5. I think he's going to flirt in the mid-20 range. But man, don't sleep on the Pelicans. I think the Suns are absolutely in trouble without Booker. Thanks, guys, for taking the time to hang out. We do got to get out of here. Again, we'll have some picks there, some MLB stuff for you guys to check out in the FTN YouTube comment section. Enjoy your Tuesday. We'll be back at Game Plus Network on Monday. But check out FTN Network for Mean Streets and, of course, the NFL Draft Show live on Thursday and on Friday. Have a good one. Cheers.